Just want to say that what an amazing thing mothers are. They're an example that they give to us, and their love that is unconditional. And I don't tell her this often enough, but I'm constantly in awe of my own wife and the way that she is a mother to our children. I couldn't be more grateful to her, or for her, grateful to the Lord for her and the way that she's raising them. I know she often feels overwhelmed, but I'm just in awe of what she does on a constant basis. And I'm also eternally grateful to my mother and the godly influence that she had. I don't know where I would be today without her. I wouldn't be born without her, but besides that, without the mother, the type of mother that she was to me and still is, I know I most likely wouldn't be standing in front of you today bringing the word. So I'm eternally grateful to her and for the way that she allowed the Lord to use her in raising my brother and I. Well, if you would stand together, and we're going to read starting in verse 3 of chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. It says, here's Paul speaking. He says, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for mothers, especially on this day. We thank you for the gift of family, the gift of life. We thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your word that instructs us how to live. Lord, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, that you would instruct us, that our homes would be full of mothers who are filled with your Holy Spirit to do what you've called them to do. And that our homes would be homes of fathers who are emboldened by the power of your Holy Spirit to be the men that you've called us to be. Lord, I pray that you would teach us this morning by your Holy Spirit, that not a word more or less would be said than what you once said. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to look at two women. We read their names here. A mother and a grandmother that God used and places in his word. And we don't know a whole lot about them. Let me give you a little bit of background about 2 Timothy, what's going on. Timothy is the young man that Paul picked up along the way, along his second missionary journey. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Paul takes him with his travels and then leaves him eventually in Ephesus to become a pastor of that church. He's a young man, and when Paul's writing this, Paul's actually in prison and he's on death row, so to speak. He knows that his time, and he says at the end of this book, my time's at hand. But he's encouraging Timothy to continue on in the faith. He feels that Timothy might be a little bit discouraged about the things that are going on around him, and so he's writing this book to specifically encourage him. Now, we're not going to be looking quite so much at Timothy as at these two other ladies that are mentioned. If you would, look in verse 5. Paul has said he is thankful and grateful to God, and he desires to see Timothy. And in verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded that dwells in you also. Here Paul mentions Timothy's grandmother and his mother. And in doing so, he's doing it for a purpose. Remember, he's trying to encourage Timothy to continue on, to stick with the stuff. And right off the bat, the first two people, besides himself saying how grateful he is for Timothy, the first two people he mentions are his grandmother and his mother. Why do you think that is? Well, who had the most influence on Timothy's life but his grandmother and his mother? And we're going to find that this morning. I want to quickly, as we go through this, I want to point out three things about these women this morning that I think are instructive for all of us and how we are to walk, but I think and pray that they are encouraging to you mothers, especially, and what God has called you to do in this role of motherhood. The first thing about these two women that I want to make note of is that they are women who are marked by devotion. They are women who are marked by devotion. Like I said, we don't know a whole lot from the scripture about Lois and Eunice, but we could pull out a few things. Notice in verse 5, he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, Timothy," he says, "your faith is without hypocrisy." That's what that word means. Without this sense of pretense. It's not a showy faith that's just putting on a show for everybody else to see. It's a sincere, a real faith, unfeigned faith. He says, I know that dwells in you, Timothy, just as it did in two other people, your mother and your grandmother. So what Paul is saying here about Timothy's mother and grandmother is that their faith was marked by the fact that it was sincere. It was not a pretentious faith. It was not an act. It was a sincere faith, not something put on. They were women of devotion. And so they're commended here in the scripture for that fact, right along with Timothy. Now, what higher honor could you have than to have Paul record this about you and it go written down for all of eternity by the Word of God? This is the Word of God, and Paul's writing it down, but it's really God commending them for their faith and for their devotion to Him, first and foremost. So he calls Timothy's mind to this. What we know about them, and we'll get into this in just a few minutes, a little bit more, but what we know about them is that they lived in a city called Lystra. Evidently, on Paul's first missionary journey, he went through Asia Minor, which is now present-day Turkey, and as he was going through these cities, he came to this one particular city, Iconium, and he preached the word. He preached, first of all, to the Jews, and some of them received it, some of them didn't. And then he went to the Gentiles when they didn't. And the Jews in that city says they rose up and they gathered together women who were influential in that community as well as men. This is in Acts. And they drove Paul and Barnabas out of Iconium. And they went to this city called Lystra and they began to preach the word. Lois and Eunice lived in Lystra. All right? They get to Lystra, and they're preaching the word, and the Jews from Iconium come down the road after a couple of days, and they pick up stones, and the Bible says they stoned Paul and drug him out of the city. They stoned him. They left him for dead. They thought they had killed him. He, the one that had been at the hand of stoning Stephen, holding the garments of those that had stoned Stephen, now he's left for dead by the roadside. But the Bible says that he, when they left, he rose up and went in and ministered with the disciples. The disciples ministered to him, those that had received the faith. And then he went on to the next town and then came back through. Over when we finally get to Acts chapter 16, we find out that two of the women that were there were Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mother and grandmother. They were some of the first disciples in Lystra. What we find out about them is that they, what we can gather from that is that they, as the Bible says, they were Jewish women. Timothy's father was a Greek, so his mother was a Jew. And she had married this Greek man. The Bible doesn't say anything about his faith, but the Bible does say that she believed. And here she is, she's a believer. What we gather basically is this. With all that background, they had kept to the word all their years growing up and raising Timothy. And when Paul came through preaching the gospel, they were ready to receive it. And they received it in an earnest faith. And they held to it. So they had a devotion to God. The second thing that they're marked by is, I would say, and I would infer from this, that they have a devotion to their family. Why do I say that? Because Paul mentions these three together. You can almost see, here's Timothy, and it appears from the scripture that he is being raised in the ways of the Lord by his mother and his grandmother. They're both doing the work of raising him up, because Paul knows them. He knows where Timothy came from. And he says that, remember the faith that they had in raising you. So they were marked by devotion to the Lord. They're also marked by devotion to their family and passing on their faith. You know, as I thought about it, these are really summing up, in a way, the two commands that the Lord said are the greatest. Do you remember them? There's a lawyer comes to the Lord, says to Jesus, what are the two greatest commands? And Jesus said, the first command is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, say it, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's the first and greatest commandment Jesus said. That's what these women did. They loved the Lord. What's the second? It's like unto it, Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. They loved other people. You can see that evidence in these two women just from the few passages that we've looked at. So first of all, their lives are marked by devotion. But second of all, their lives are marked by the fact that they laid a firm foundation. Devotion, foundation. Turn with me over to, we're still in 2 Timothy, but chapter 3 and verse 14. Flip a page over, the Bible says, but continue thou in the things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child, Timothy, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through Christ, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What I want you to catch here is that he says to Timothy, Timothy, from a child you have learned the scriptures. Now, who taught him the scriptures from a child? Lois and Eunice, his mother and his grandmother, even before they had heard the gospel, actually. How do I know that? Well, Paul preaches the gospel to Lystra. 5 years later, or within 5 years, he comes back through and he sees Timothy, and we're about to read that passage. He sees Timothy and he calls Timothy to go with him in the ministry. That word there, where it says, from a child you've known the scriptures, it means a young child. Timothy, when he goes with Paul, is a young man. There's more than 5 years there in growth. So, I say and I submit to you that Lois and Eunice all along have been teaching the scripture. What was the scripture at this time? It was the Old Testament. The New Testament hasn't been written yet. It's in the process of being written, but it's not been completely written yet. It was the Old Testament. They were teaching the scripture that they had to Timothy, getting it in his heart from a young child, so that the moment he heard the gospel, his heart was ready to receive it, just like theirs. You see, mothers, there's an example here. If they did nothing else for Timothy, we know they did these two things. We know that they left an impression upon Timothy that they loved the Lord. All right? How do we know that? Because he says, remember the faith that they had. It was sincere. It was without apology. It was without pretense. They had a sincere faith. We know that they left that impression, that testimony upon Timothy. The second thing that we know they left upon Timothy is they implanted the word in his heart from a child. If there is two things that those women did, it's those two things. They taught Timothy that they loved the Lord, they showed him they loved the Lord, and they showed him the scripture, and they got that word into his heart. Mothers, if there's nothing else that you do in life, if you will show your children, I love the Lord, my faith in the Lord is steadfast, I'm going to cling to that. If you will show them your love for the Lord, and if you will, to the best of your ability, get the word of God into their heart, teach them to love the word, it will do incredible wonders for your child. It will change your child's life. In fact, God says that his word is eternal. He says that the grass withers, the flower fades. If you give your child nothing else, give them something that's eternal, that will last forever. Give them the word. It fades not. It will not change. It's eternal. Get that word into their heart. Teach it to them when they're young. Make it like that little piece of their first taste. I remember with our kids, their first taste of sugar is at their first birthday, because that's when Starla wants to let them have their first sugar. And it's that first taste of she probably sees me and says they need to wait. we give them that cake and that ice cream and their eyes light up. It's that first taste and they want more. They're all into it then. You can do that with a child. You can put it on the palate of that child to love the word. You can train them to love the word from the time that they're young. That's what these women did for Timothy. The second thing about the word is God said, my word will not return void. It will accomplish the thing for which I sent it forth. You give them the word and you are giving them the promises and power of God. You get that into their heart and it's going to return. It's going to yield fruit. God promised it. You just trust it. He's going to do it. They may go through trials, but that word is in there, and God will honor his word. Plant the love for the word deep in their heart. Well, the final thing that I want to give you this morning and submit to you about these women. First of all, they were women marked by devotion. Second of all, they were women who laid a foundation for their son and grandson, Timothy. But finally, flip over to Acts chapter 16. They're women, we find out in Acts chapter 16, who demonstrate their faith, or gave evidence of their faith by demonstration. They lived it out. They didn't just say they had faith in the Lord. They actually demonstrated their faith in the Lord. How did they demonstrate their faith in the Lord? This is Paul's second missionary journey, as we talked about earlier. Says he comes to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewish and believed. But his father was a Greek. Notice it doesn't say his father believed. Let me stop right there before we go on. What I draw from that, the ideal that God has set up, is for the men to wholeheartedly grab hold of and follow the Lord and lead their families in devotion to the Lord. Amen. That's God's ideal. But here we have an example where God takes a situation and redeems it. This might not be the ideal family situation where you have one that the mother that's believing and the father who has not yet believed. Or maybe, as some say, by this time they think the father has passed away. That might not be the ideal as we see sometimes in Scripture. But that doesn't matter with God. God's not looking for the ideal. God's looking for the faithful. God's looking for this. He looks at this family and he says, I can use this family. So don't ever think, well, my situation's not ideal. So you simply focus upon the Lord. You simply say, I'm going to be faithful in what God has called me to do. And trust God with the results. Because he will do wonders. All right? Don't ever make excuse for your situation. We can all say, well, my situation is not ideal about this or that. God's in the business of taking that which is broken and mending it. Who are we but sinners? That's the business he's in. He's in the business of redemption. That's what he's all about. So don't say, my situation's not ideal. Say, my God is all powerful. He can take any situation and bring redemption out of it. So here we have this woman. That's Eunice. It says that, and here's Timothy, and it says in verse 2, Timothy was well reported of by the brethren, that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him Paul would have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, and were ordained to the apostles and elders that were at Jerusalem. Basically, what this is saying is, here's Timothy joining the team. He's a young man. He's joining the team. Now you say, what does that have to do with his mother? Well, mothers, you think about it. How's it feel to see your son or daughter that you've raised, you've invested your life in, leave and go out into the world? There's a sense of joy there, but there's also a sense of, my baby's going. Right? Their faith is a little more than just, my baby's going, though. Because in this day and age, him traveling with Paul, they're not assured of ever seeing him again. Here he is, a young man, and they're willing to demonstrate their faith, to put their action where they say their faith is, by saying, Timothy, yes, you go. We're going to let you go with Paul. They may never see him again. For all we know, we don't know what their home situation was like, but oftentimes as a son came up in that culture, he was given the responsibility of taking care of the mother and the grandmother to bring in the provision for the family. So what they're saying by allowing Timothy to go is, Timothy, our faith and our hope is not in you to provide for us. Our faith and our hope is in God. We trust him to provide. You go do what God's called you to do. This is incredible faith. This is amazing faith. It's a quiet faith. The scripture doesn't really highlight it, but it's there. It's under the current. It's two mothers, a mother and a grandmother, saying, Timothy, you go do what God's called you to do. God will take care of us. That's amazing. And yet we see it in mothers every day. And so what I want you to take from this is an encouragement. You may think, well, am I really doing anything for the kingdom? Notice these two women. There were three things that they did, and it had great impact upon the kingdom. They were devoted to the Lord, and they passed that devotion on to their son and grandson, Timothy. Notice that it was the mother and the grandmother. Grandmothers, there's a role for you in this too. Passing your faith on. They were passing it on. Second of all, notice that they laid a firm foundation. If they did nothing else, they were getting that word to their children. They were saying, you're going to learn the scripture. And they were getting it into their heart. And finally, notice that their faith was evident by demonstration. They acted upon their faith. They said, God's our provider. Timothy, you go do what God's called you to do. And we're going to trust him to provide for our needs. I see that in these two women. And I see that in a lot of women here. And I want to say, thank you. You may think what you've done is small. It's not, because what Timothy did is he went forward and he became a pastor. He went forward and trained under Paul and got to preach the gospel and bring others to the Lord. What those two women did impacted all of eternity because of their devotion, they're laying a foundation, and they're giving demonstration of their faith to the Lord. And thank you for doing the same. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for, once again, for your word, and I thank you that you give us the strength to do the things that you've called us to do. I want to thank you for the mothers in our congregation who have demonstrated these same qualities, and I pray that you would encourage their hearts to keep on keeping on doing the things that you've called them to do, getting the word into their heart, the hearts of their children. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know you this morning, as their personal Lord and Savior, that has not responded yet to your word, I pray that you would convict them by your Holy Spirit, that they would come to a place of placing their faith and trust solely in Jesus Christ, not in their own works, which can never save, which can never do anything but assure eternal damnation. Our works damn us, Lord. But your work on the cross is what saves. And Lord, if there's anyone here that has not received that work as a free gift, I pray that you would convict them and bring them to salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have a hymn of invitation. Brother Lanny will be at the front. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, if you haven't responded to the Word like Timothy and his mother and grandmother did, and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, let me give you the gospel just real simply. The gospel is this: you're a sinner, you're lost. Without Christ, you're destined for eternity, separated from God in hell. And I don't want that for you, and God doesn't want that for you. He sent his Son to die on the cross to save you personally. He looked down through the time of history and said, I want to save you. And he sent his Son, who lived a perfect life, died in your place. And if you receive him, the Bible says, you can have eternal life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. If you have not done that, I encourage you to come forward so that you can know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as Savior today as we sing.